What I want to do is I want to finish up the series that I've been doing on family. So I want us to begin to speak this PowerPoint once we get it up, okay? And today's final message is called The Path to Understanding. And we'll see how that fits in family messages. And let me say that we'll say this first, and then I'll introduce the title, okay? So here it is, everybody. Are y'all ready? Let's all say this out loud. Ready? God together. Here we go. God is Father, Jesus is Son, and we are family. Our God's our Father. All right, next, okay? Next, here we go. All right, here we go. Identity and fatherhood is the heart of the gospel. Let's say that. Identity and fatherhood is the heart of the gospel. That's what it's all about. It's not a matter of who's right and who's not right. Jesus tried to kill him. They tried to kill Jesus when he started saying, Papa God. He said, hey, that means you must think you're equal with God. Okay, he didn't like that. All right, here we go. Ready? Our room is not a guest room. Ready? Say it again with me. Our room is not a guest room. You know, for many years, my room was still my room. When after I moved out of my house, my room was my room. Eventually, my daddy took all my stuff out and made it his office. But for a while, that was still my room. I'd come back and visit, and it's still there. All right, so in my Father's house are many rooms. Next. Jesus is the way, and the Father is the destination. Let's say that. Ready? Jesus is the way, and the Father is the destination. That's where we're going, guys. We are going to the Father. Amen. Next. We are not orphans. Let's declare it. Ready? We are not orphans. But we often act like orphans, and that's where we have to ask the Holy Spirit to show us how we're acting like orphans, so we stopped acting like orphans. And as I said before, orphans are always trying to wrangle and manipulate and find a way to get stuff. They're not trusting the Holy Spirit, the Father, to provide for them. But God wants to provide for you. He's got it for you. And we don't have to hustle around and just try to, you know, whatever. Next. Okay. I will come to you. We are family. Last one. Let's all say it. Ready? We are family. Amen. He says, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. And he was telling Mary, let go of me. I've got to go, because it's by the Holy Spirit that you're going to become family like never before. Amen? All right, so we're going to talk about the path to understanding. And I've always been told, it really hasn't been this my experience, but I've heard that holidays like Thanksgiving, when family gets together, can become rather hot and heated in debate, because people come from different backgrounds, from different places. They get together and they start arguing about stuff. And I always heard that what you never talk about at Thanksgiving or meals like that is don't ever talk about politics or religion, because then you start getting into it. So I'd like to review what we've been talking about here, and let's get on to it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 says this. When I came to you, brothers, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. Paul says this, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. So Paul had a strategy as an apostolic father to not be a smarty pants. Even though he had a lot of training in smarts, he was highly educated, studied with the best rabbis or teachers. He made God led him to a conscious decision. I believe it hit him on the road to Damascus, okay? That not to, you don't know anything except for Jesus. I don't want to minister, don't you to minister out of your smarts. And I was actually with you in weakness and fear and much trembling, and my speech and my message were not implausible words of wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Everybody say that. Demonstration of the Spirit and power. Could you all say that? Go. Demonstration of the Spirit and power. Why? So that your faith may not be founded or rest on the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. God wants our faith founded on the power of God. not people's smarts. So we talked about that last week, Acts chapter 15, the very first arguing in the early church. Last week we talked about it, was about circumcision and a bunch of believers. Come on, they were Christians. They believed in Jesus. They were Pharisees that believed in Jesus. We learned about this in Acts 15, and they were teaching that you had to be circumcised and be Jewish in your rituals and practices if you were a Gentile. They had to teach that to everybody, and it created arguments, dissensions, and debates. And so what does it do? They replaced the demonstration. Everybody say demonstration. The demonstration of the Spirit with debate. Everybody say debate. We live by the demonstration of the Spirit, not by debate. We don't do it. Don't replace demonstration of the Spirit with debate, which leads to division. Everybody say division. So debate creates division, but demonstration creates unity. When God shows up, guess what? Arguments stop. That's what I love about revival. People shut up when God shows up. It's true. I saw we had this happen in this church. I will not mention any names, but we had an elder in this church. I think he was an elder. He was frozen in place when God showed up, and he couldn't hardly talk. He was frozen. God just froze him and said, "You're not moving until I say so." And that's what happened. That's what happened to Catherine Kuhlman, too, one time. She just got up there and began to preach, and the demonstration of the Spirit just froze her in place, and it was a sign that made people wonder. Why? People wonder about signs, but they like to argue about certain other things. So we have to be careful about how we teach the Word so that we don't get into debates, which leads to divisions. We want to see demonstration of the Holy Spirit and empower. Because the Word of God says in Proverbs 3, verse 5, trust, everybody say trust, say faith, say rely on. All that means the same thing. Trust, rely on, believe, faith in the Lord with all your heart. So when you're talking about faith, what must you also do? What does it say? Trust, but then don't lean on your own understanding. In order to trust in the Lord with your heart, everybody say heart. Don't let your head get you in the mess up that he wants you, get out of the messed up thinking. So you have to deal from the heart by faith, because if you lean or rely on or put your trust in your own understanding, everybody say own understanding. Now, we're not talking about the understanding that comes by the demonstration of the Spirit. When the demonstration of the Spirit comes, when the Word comes with demonstration, you understand it, but you don't. It's not your own understanding. It's God's own understanding. God wants you to see things His way. He wants you to understand things His way. And that is the only way we will come into a full agreement as a family. That's how we do it, because we see things the same way. Why? We've been through it the same way. We've experienced the same thing. One of the most difficult things when you go through a very unique experience is the sense that other people just don't understand what you've been through. Am I right? Have you been through something? I'm thinking of anything that you've been through something where you know someone else doesn't really understand what you've been through because they haven't experienced it. You could try to explain it to them, and they won't get it. They just won't get it, because it's the demonstration of the Holy Spirit that imparts kind of an understanding where, oh, I've been through that, because you have, and there's a sensitivity and a kindness and a love. I feel that so much of our unity comes because we've all experienced Christ in our hearts. It's not because someone just said something just right. Because there are times when I've said things really wrong and God showed up. He just showed up because He loves us. He loves us. Wow. It says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your ways, your paths. All right, so 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Wow. I do not write these things. Verse 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 14. I don't write these things to make you ashamed, but to admonish you as my beloved children, because we're family. For though you have countless guides in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For I became your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel. I urge you then, be imitators of me. That's why I sent you Timothy, my beloved and faithful child. And let's see the family talk here going on. In the Lord, to remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach them everywhere in every church. Some are arrogant, proud, as though I were not coming to you, but I will come to you soon, even if the Lord wills, and I will find out not the talk of these arrogant people, but their power. For the kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but power. That's the kingdom. God just does it. Boom. Power, anointing. It's just amazing. There's wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Amen? We sing it because we live it. Now, that word for countless guides, though you have countless guides in Christ, I think that's back in verse 15, maybe? All right. That word guide is where we get our word pedagogue from. And let me explain to you the background, because we don't really understand it, because this is the culture that they had in those days. So give me a little bit of explanation here. In those days, young boys, we don't have any young boys here, but young boys were not allowed out of the house at all by themselves, period. Boys weren't allowed out. So growing up, the only way you were allowed out of your house is if you had a pedagogue with you or a guide. It was a young servant. In other words, it was a, you know, you got to understand the culture of those days. They hired people as slaves and servants. So they either owned them or they were working off debts or whatever. So the family that had children, okay, these young boys, they had a young slave or a young servant that was tasked all. And they, so think of a teenage boy like 20, 25 years old, just a young guy that was working for or a slave to that household. His job was simply to watch those boys and take care of them and keep them from getting in trouble. And the only way those boys can go out of the house was with their 20-something or 25-year-old, whatever pedagogue was. That was the guide. So that's how they got out of the house. They were allowed out of the house, but only with someone watching over them and just trying to keep them out of trouble. Just say, don't be stupid. You know what I'm saying? He said, you've got people like that in your life. So this is why Paul is explaining them. You've got people that is, they're just young, they're experienced, but they're not a father. They're not telling you how to live. They're just trying to keep you out of trouble. He said, you've got a lot of people like that. You've got a lot of folks that are walking around with you, keeping you out of trouble, but you need some papas in your life that are going to show you how to live, what it means to grow up and be a mature son, and so that you can go out on your own and then eventually have your own house. This is what Paul's really saying. And I can't even think of a modern-day equivalent to that. Can you, anybody think of a modern-day equivalent, what that might be? I mean, literally, just you need somebody so that you can be safe. And I don't want to be that kind of preacher. I don't want to be the kind of preacher, all I'm trying to do is keep you out of trouble. Right? You don't want me like that. You want somebody that's going to be an example of what it means to be Jesus so that you can walk in maturity. I'm not just trying to keep you from just acting up all the time. Man, can you imagine a church like that? But there are churches like that. I don't want to be like that. I want to have a church with mature people growing up. Amen. Amen. I'm so glad. And we got some mature sons and daughters in this church. I'm declaring it. It is the truth. We have mature sons and daughters in this church. We are not a church full of babies. Because what do babies do? Wah! All the time. What do babies do? Fight all the time. Am I right? They can't handle it. You're playing with a toy and then someone comes over and takes it. Wah! Right? But that's, Christians act like that spiritually. And we are not that way. We are not that way. I know there are people in this room that they don't have to be number one. Amen. There are people like that. There are people that were willing to be a servant. And if someone else gets to do something, they're fine with it. That's a good attitude. I love that attitude. I'm blessed by that. And I feel that way about you. If God gives you a word, look what we had today. We prayed before the service in the prayer meeting. I remember specifically praying, Lord, I prayed that the gifts would really flow this morning. Did they? They flowed this morning. We prayed for it, and it happened, and it flowed. And so do I have to have an hour and a half message every? Do I have to be the one to talk? I could stop. I was like, I could stop right now. It's already 12:30, guys. But look what some of you had. Some of you had the word of the Lord. You had the word of the Lord. Because right now, I want you to turn to Acts chapter 18, and I want you to see something, because one of the things that you brought out today was about baptism. Am I right? Someone talked about was it you in the river? Someone talked about being in the river and about a new kind of baptism. Remember that? Well, what are we going to look at? Acts chapter 18. All right, about Apollos. I want you to start in verse 24, Acts 18, verse 24. And what was Paul dealing with in Corinth? He was dealing with people that were immature and that people that were caught up with really good speakers. And this guy Apollos in verse 24 was a Jew, native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. So Alexandria was the brainy city of the Greek Empire there, and it was the closest one. It had a famous library. I think that was one of the seven wonders of the world. So people from Alexandria were brainiacs. You know what a brainiac is, right? Watch kids' stuff. You watch. I know what a brainiac is. Hello, brainiacs. Whoever that is, one of those TV shows I watch. Yeah, brainiacs. He was very, very smart. And so he couldn't help it. He was raised that way. He was raised around books. He was very, very smart Jewish man. And he was speaking in Ephesus. He was eloquent and he was competent. He could do the scriptures. He was good at it. Verse 25, he had been instructed in the way of the Lord. Everybody say way of the Lord. And who preached the way of the Lord? John the Baptist. We find out later that the way of the Lord was also what the early church was called. And we know that the way to the Father is through Jesus. But look what he preached, the way of the Lord. He was fervent in spirit. Everybody say fervent in spirit. So the Holy Spirit was working in him. He was working in this man, Apollos. But what does it say? He spoke and taught accurately the things concerning Jesus, although he knew only the baptism of John. We could replace that word knowing only with he only had a demonstration of the baptism of John. He only knew the water baptism that was John's water baptism. And he was speaking boldly in the synagogue, right? So he was on fire for God. He was zealous of spirit. He knew the scriptures really, really well. Wouldn't you want somebody like that in your church? Yes, you would. But he needed something else to his knowledge, okay? What did he need? Well, he began to speak boldly, but when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, Priscilla and Aquila were father and mother in the Lord. They heard him. They took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. He needed something else. He needed some things that were missing. And there are Christians there. Now, we found out about the Christians in Acts 15. There were Christians in Acts 15 that were teaching wrong stuff. Everybody say wrong stuff. They wanted to circumcise people, right? That was wrong. It wasn't God's heart. But then there are also Christians that are not teaching wrong stuff. They're teaching right stuff, but they need more stuff. Everybody say more stuff. So you got people that do wrong stuff, and then you got Christians who need more stuff. So there, and I'm telling you, you know it, there are churches and godly people in this area that got good stuff, but they need more stuff from the Lord. They have a limit to their knowledge of the Lord, and they need more. And so they got the, they're not bad, they're not teaching false doctrine, but they're just not, they don't have the full package. And God used a father and mother in the Lord, Priscilla and Aquila. Interesting, the woman was mentioned first, by the way. And that, I think, is for a reason, because I think she was a fireball in Jesus. And, you know, and I, that's just my idea here. But she was listed first. Earlier in the chapter, Aquila was listed first. But then Priscilla was listed first. So I think she said, praise God, brother. We're going to teach you and get you straight, boy, Apollos. You know, there was something about her. Okay, now that's just me reading into it. All right, now, it says they explained to God, and he wished to cross to Achaia, and the brothers encouraged him. So what did they do to explain to Apollos more accurately? What do you think it was? They don't say right there, but you find out, I think, later in Acts chapter 19, because Apollos had gone through Ephesus before he came to Corinth. And so, therefore, he had already been working in Ephesus when Paul gets to Ephesus. And then what does he find in Ephesus? Some disciples. Everybody say disciples. Yeah, but what did they know? First question he asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit? Do you got the Holy Ghost? And they're like, holy who? We've never heard of the Holy Ghost. We've never heard of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Jews knew about the Spirit of God, but there was something they didn't even know about the gospel and the Holy Spirit. They didn't know it, and they didn't experience it. What did they only experience? John's baptism. This is the exact same thing that Apollos was preaching. He only knew John's baptism. He didn't know the baptism in the Holy Ghost, and they didn't know the baptism into the name of Jesus. Those two things they didn't have. So we can infer from Acts chapter 19 what the more accuracy that Apollos needed to get him to where God wanted him to be. Amen? God wanted him to experience the baptism into the name of Jesus, that is not just someone coming that we're looking for. No, Jesus has come. Rejoice, the Lord has come. Amen, he's here. Let's get baptized now, not in the coming of the Lord, but in the having come, Lord. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. I'm getting baptized in the name of Jesus because he's here. Praise God. I'm not looking forward to someday. He is here, and I'm going to actually dive into that. I'm going to be baptized with him in his death and his burial and resurrection. I'm going to experience the life of Jesus in my life. I'm going to know something. I'm not just going to put my trust in something in the Word of God that I'm not. I'm going to experience the power of God because Jesus is coming alive in my heart. And the Holy Spirit is my witness through me of that fact that Jesus is alive in me. And that's what Apollos needed. He needed something more than just knowing the scriptures. Because the letter without the Spirit is the dead letter. It will produce death. It'll produce conviction. And you'll get convicted, but you got nowhere to, you got nothing to bring life to you. And Paul talks about that later in about the dead letter of the scripture. Praise God. Our word brings life. It doesn't just kill. Amen. A letter kills, the Spirit brings life. You got to have them both. Amen. So what happens is the baptism comes, and he says, look at verse 4. This is so important. Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was going to come after him, that is Jesus. There is the right gospel there. You can't just stop in repentance. And remember in the book of Hebrews, they were telling the early church, you guys in the Hebrews, you're acting like babies. You got to get off the bottle, get off the milk, and start eating some good meat. Praise the Lord. Get some meat in you. Get that accuracy. And it says, on hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus in water, right? Baptized means water. And then when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on. As a spiritual father, he laid his hands on these disciples. And it says the Holy Spirit came upon them in demonstration of power, because our faith is not in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Listen, I was talking to an African-American pastor, and I said, what do you think is the two biggest things, or the biggest thing that's dealing with the church run? He said, the first thing is, he said, we are divided as a church and as a people. He said, it started worse and worse when President Obama was elected. The last three presidents, it's gotten worse. He said, the problem is people are into politics more than they're into God. They got to get out of politics, they got to start getting into God and realize that who we are. He said, there are some people that know what the Word of God says about things, and they still vote for people. It's true. This is what the Word says. They still vote. I mean, you know, come on, guys. He said, so that was the first thing. And the second thing is, he said, the second problem he has is, I don't understand. He said, but some people are so caught up with men, They're just caught up with a guy, and they're like so hooked on that guy, and they put that person, whether it's a Bible teacher, they get that superstar thing, and that Bible teacher, and it's not them, or it could be a politician. Come on now. It doesn't have to be a person. Don't get stuck on a person. It's not about men. And Paul said that later. Who am I? Who's Apollos? We're nothing. It's just Jesus. Get off the hook of worshiping men or getting hooked on people, on whoever it is. I don't care whatever realm or field it is. And get into Jesus and let him be the center. I had him be the center. And I'm telling you, I think that's a key thing. And I was like, man, this is feeding right into my message today. Because that's what Paul preached. That's what got them in arguments. Because Paul said, look, so what if Apollos is a great Bible? Good, he's a servant of the Lord, but he's nothing. I'm nothing, but I'm your spiritual father. I did something for you. I brought something. I care for you. I pray for you. I angst for you. I'm not just here just to do my thing. So we got to see that the fatherhood of God is expressed in spiritual fathers and mothers. I believe Priscilla and Aquila were fathers and mothers. And they did something for Apollos that took him from being a good preacher to being an awesome preacher, because he got filled with the Holy Spirit. And it wasn't just the word of the scriptures raised that he was raised in, but it was the word of Jesus Christ, because he became baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. Remember Timothy? Paul took Timothy, and he said, he's my spiritual son. What do we know about Timothy? His mama raised him in the scriptures. But he needed something when he got older that caused him to step into his apostleship. Because Timothy was an apostle, and Paul raised him up. He was the first bishop over Ephesus. A young man, he took him and did something with him and brought him somewhere. So I believe that God wants to do this to the church and get the church unstuck. Get your eyes off of man. Get your eyes off of man. Do what the Word of God says. Do it and get with God and spend time with God and let the demonstration of the Holy Spirit lead you as you go. Let God demonstrate with you. Don't try to get sucked into arguments and this and that and this and that. Let God show up and tell you what to do. Like sometimes you want to say, hey, let's just be quiet a minute. Let's worship God and see what God shows up and does. I mean, we got to do that. And as we do that, God will show us what we need to do and who we need to talk to and where we need to go. I just want to encourage you with that. I feel that that is the key to making us into family, that God wants to deal with people who are teaching the wrong stuff, and then God wants to give more stuff to the people who need it. There are, revival is part of what we're called to do. I believe that we are called in this church to straighten out some people that need to get straightened out, but also to accurately add to people who are missing on something they need. There's a lot of good Christians in this area that need more stuff from God. They're stuck like Apollos. They're good. They're nice people, but they need to be talking in tongues. They need to be laying hands on the sick and seeing. They need this. They need the presence of God. They need the power of God, and they don't know it. I believe that. I'm believing God for that, from this church and from that, for a revival to happen, for God to bring revival and bring people into the power of God. We need the power of God. Come on. We need the demonstration. We need this. We need God to just show up and do these things, because we're preaching it. We're preaching it. Amen? So I want to encourage you with this in the family of God, how God wants to take us and bring us together, and how he wants us to be like this kind of people that are stepping into fully of what the Lord has for us. Okay? Amen? Amen. So Lord, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for the family of God. We thank you that you are our Father, and we are brothers and sisters. We thank you for the call of God. We thank you for the power of God. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Okay, we can be dismissed. Amen. God bless you.